The power of the cleansing blood of Jesus. Now, in the same way, I'm going to use what Dino did. And he asked a question, when did we have victory? Past, present, future, right? So I want to ask a question this morning. When were we cleansed? When you think about that, I'm going to leave this with you. All right. Now, as we go, we're going to look at the cleansing here. And before I do that is, there's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Leviticus. Are you aware of this book? It's the fourth book of the third book of the Old Testament. Have you read this book, or who has been kind of afraid to read this book? Okay, maybe I shouldn't say put hands up or anything, but think about it. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, I never really liked that book, just too bloody, or it's too, I don't know what it means. What all these, you know, things about sacrifice and all these things, so many animals and so many rituals and so many things. So it can get a little bit, can cause us to draw back a little bit in reading that book, because we may not understand. But one of the key thing in that book, all right, besides all the sacrifices that are mentioned, is found in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. And it says this, all right, this is kind of like one of the themes that goes through the book of Leviticus. And it's this, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Everybody say holy and unholy, holy. Unclean and clean. So the book of Leviticus shows us that God is a holy God and that God is clean. And it goes on into this whole, and you got to read the whole book to get the whole sense of all the different various sacrifices that are made in order to find cleansing. So what does it show us? It shows to man how unclean man is. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. It says this in verse 1. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he doesn't tell it, he bears guilt. Now, every word in orange, can you just verbalize it with me, okay, when we reach there? Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean livestock or the carcass of an unclean creeping things, and he's unaware of it, he is also shall be unclean and guilty. Verse 3. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, he is unaware of it. When he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a person swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good or whatever that is a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. Okay, so can you pick up those words? Sin, unclean, guilty. All right, so the book of Leviticus is full of those words, full of, you know, clean, unclean, holy, and then all of that, it talks about various sacrifices that are performed in order that the person may be clean. So let me list just a few. You'd really have to read the whole book to really get the full sense of it, but just to name a few. What made a person unclean? We just read in the Leviticus, but just to name a few here, when you touch an unclean person, you become unclean. If you touch a dead body, you are unclean. If someone has leprosy, he is unclean. Moral impurity was also unclean. Or any sin that was against God's commandment, a person was unclean. What was the picture of the uncleanness that the scriptures is pointing to? It's talking about the uncleanness of sin. And look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. It says this, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are like filthy rags. Filthy. Everybody say filthy. We all fade as leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We are all like an unclean thing. because of our iniquity, because of our sin, which talks about that in the next verse, but we don't have it there. So how unclean are we? You see, for my own personal life, as I was on this journey of finding out Jesus and discovering Jesus, one of the revelations that I had on a bus was the revelation of how unholy and how unworthy and how unclean I was. To the point that I went to tell a friend who was a Christian, or who is a Christian, and I went to tell him, you know what? I'm going to hell and you're going to hell with me. He's like, why? I said, because we're so unworthy, we're so unclean. Don't you think so? Don't you see it? I almost felt like even breathing in itself, I felt unclean. And so God had to, the Holy Spirit had to convict me of sin to realize of how unclean I am. Because only when a person realizes how unclean he is, then he realizes that he needs to be cleansed. Is that so? So what do we use as human beings every day? What do we use to clean ourselves? What are the agents that we use to clean ourselves? Anybody? Soap and water. Something going all right? We use what? Soap and water. Okay? Soap helps us get the dirt out, and then water washes it off. Is that right? So how many things do we have here? Two things. We've been having challenges with technology these days, haven't we? All right. But I hope you're following with me so far. Okay, clean and unclean. And here we have two cleaning agents. But let me say this now. Uncleanness is what? When you have dirt or when you're dirty, when you anything that's sweat or whatever it is, right? Dirt, mud. All of that is uncleanness, right? When someone is said to be clean, what would that mean to the person who had all this dirt on? It would mean what? Washed away, which means there's a separation of all the dirty stuff is separated from the person itself. Is that right? I want you to get this idea here first. I'm going to establish this. I mean, this is pretty straightforward, but all I want you to picture here is that from an unclean person to be clean is to have all the washing agents, but it means that if someone is clean, that all the dirt is separated from the person. That's all I want to say here. All right, can we get the points on the screen? Okay, anyway, we'll go without the points, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? You'll follow with me, all right? Okay. Point number one, I want to talk about cleansing. In the Bible, there are two types of cleansing. There are multiple things that speaks of cleansing in the Bible, but I want to focus on two things. And these two things, these are God's cleaning agent. So we, as human beings, use soap and water, but God uses blood and water. All right, I'm really going to sort of ask what's going on here. Something's happening. All right. I want to show you the scriptures, but amen. All right. Okay, you turn to it. All right. Your fingers and your hands have got to be quick, all right? Oh, hallelujah. All right. Everybody, why don't we just rise to our feet for just a moment? Let's rise. I know it's going to get uncomfortable. You got all your books. Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, we thank you that what you want to do here in our lives this morning will be established. It will come forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we commit everything here to you. We commit our hearts. We commit our spirit. We commit our soul. We commit our body to you. We commit this service to you. We commit everything that we do. Lord, we give you all of our attention. And God, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in our hearts even now. And I believe you, and I trust that in your word is going to touch us, and your word has power. Your word and your spirit and your blood has power to touch us this morning and to turn our lives around and to bring us to a greater revelation of who you are. So I pray this morning, give us a revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a greater revelation so that we can walk in your light and in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. All right, let's continue. All right, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. And the first thing I want to talk about is God's cleaning agent. What were they again? Let's repeat it again. Blood and water. God's cleaning agents in the Old Testament, in the Bible, is very clearly defined as blood and water. And again, you'd have to read the book of Leviticus to see this. But let's look at Leviticus 17, just a few verses there. In verse 11, he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." So we can see here from this verse that blood, God uses blood to make atonement for the soul, because life is in the blood. Okay, Leviticus chapter 5, verse 6, talking about the blood, "And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, and a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of a goat, as a sin offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin." So can you see this idea here? Blood is used to make atonement for sin. Atonement, in verse Leviticus chapter 16, verse 19 says, the purpose of the atonement is to not only forgive us and all that justifies us, we've talked about the work of the atonement a few weeks ago, but it is also to cleanse us. In verse 19, it says, "For on that day, the priest shall make atonement." On what day? If you know, chapter 16 talks about the Day of Atonement, where the high priest would go into the most holy place once a year. He says, "For in that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to" what? Everybody verbalize it with me. "To cleanse you so that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." So blood is used to make atonement for sin, for man, to cleanse us from sin. God's cleaning agent, the blood. So God's soap, in that sense, is the blood. Then we have the other side, which is water. I'm not going to go through the pains of reading perhaps the verses. I mean, even though I've got it there on the screen. But if you're familiar with the idea of the Old Testament, cleansing with water was a common thing, was quite a big thing. They had the purification of the waters. Now, remember the wedding of Cana, when Jesus turned the water into wine? Those jars, those stone jars, what were they? Do you know what these were? Purification jars. Okay, these were the waters of purification. It wasn't just some random jars that just so happens to be in the corner. They were purification. That means they were cleansing ritual with water. For example, right? I mean, I'm just going to give you some example of the idea of water and how they wash themselves. Before the high priest could offer the sacrifices, what would he have to do? He have to wash himself with water. When God said to Joshua, "Tell the people, I'm going to come and see you. I'm going to come and visit you. I'm going to come and meet with you. Sanctify the people. Wash themselves in wash their clothes. Tell them to wash themselves." So, but anyway, when we look at the leprosy, what happened to Naaman? What was he asked to do? Wash in water. Okay. What about the ritual cleansing of the laws? It talks about blood, but it also talks about you got to wash yourself with water. If anything was unclean, in order to be cleansed in the book of Leviticus, apart from the sacrifices which involves blood, they had to wash themselves from the uncleanness. Does that make sense? So what do we have? Two cleansing agents. Say with me, the blood and the water. That's God's cleansing agent. But here we find Jesus in John chapter 19, verse 33 to 34. Just some introductory things here. He says, when they came to Jesus. Now remember in John 19, Jesus is crucified there on the cross. Okay? And he says in verse 33, when they came to Jesus and they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his leg. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately what came out? Blood and water came out. Everybody say, blood and water came out. Blood and water came out from the side of Jesus. So can you picture here with for a moment, when we are reading the book of Leviticus and we're seeing all these blood sacrifices, all the washing of water, what do you think is pointing to us? The blood and the water that came out from the side of Jesus, the cleansing blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, look at this, what it says here. It says, this is he who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, can you see three ingredients here? Say with me, water, blood, and the Spirit. So I've got a triangle there, bringing all three together. So you have truth, the Spirit, you have the water, and you have the blood. Now remember this, because we're going to need this for the ending. So the water and the blood came out from Jesus, and it cleanses us. The cleansing is in the blood of Jesus. So point number two, the cleansing agents of the Old Testament are not only blood and water, but here it cleanses. Say with me, it washes the uncleanness of sin. Now, let's look at this now, because we're going to compare what happened in the Old Testament and what actually happens to us now. Number one, it was not temporal. Okay, now we're talking about the sacrifice of Jesus now, okay? Are you with me? All right, on the one side, okay, so it's not temporal, next one. It's not temporal, but eternal. Okay, what do we mean by that? On the left-hand side, what do we see? We see that all of this, can you see what's on the left? What does it say? Bull, goat, waters of purification, blood. All of these things that are in the Old Testament, these were temporal. But what Jesus did is eternal. So it's not temporal, but eternal. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 1 to 4. It says, for the law, remember all the laws about blood and water and sacrifice, having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year. What did they do year by year? The Day of Atonement, the sacrifice, right? It is impossible that these things, they continue year by year, make those who approach perfect. It's impossible. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, for worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a reminder of sins every year. There's a constant reminder that we're sinful. Verse 4, for it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It's impossible. Say with me, it's impossible. But what does Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 tell us? It says, Jesus, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. How we sang about the most holy place this morning, right? I enter in by the blood of the Lamb. It is finished. It is done. We have entrance. It says he entered the most holy place once and for all. Does he have to do it over and over again? No, but once. Once for all. Once it settles it. For eternity, this sacrifice is sufficient. For eternity, it is enough. The sacrifice of Jesus. Once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Our redemption is eternal. So, what Jesus accomplished for us, the cleansing blood of Jesus, is not temporal, it's eternal. Can someone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. The second one here is that the blood of Jesus does not just cover my sin, it cleanses my sin. So it doesn't just cover, not covers only, but it cleanses. What do we mean by that? Well, let's read Revelation chapter 5 and how the blood cleanses. A few verses on the blood that cleanses. Here it says this in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, why don't you read it with me? It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So the blood cleanses. It cleanses us from unrighteousness. But when we read Hebrews and he says, it was impossible that the bloods of bulls and goats that could take away sin. It was never possible to be completely clean, free from that sin. Yes, though the sacrifices of the Old Testament were offered. You see, in those days, it would cover their sins so that the wrath of God would not, you know, it would appear as the wrath of God, but it was impossible that the blood of bulls could accomplish what Jesus actually does, and that it cleanses us. So not only does Jesus cover us, right, because he took the wrath, but the blood has the power to purge us and to cleanse us from our sin. And remember what we talked about, to be clean means if you had sin or dirt, that is separated from the person. It is washed, it's cleansed, it's not there anymore. When you only cover something, all right, like makeup, all right, you're just covering up or dirt. You just cover it up. You don't know if my shirt's dirty or clean or even ironed unless I take this out. Okay. Oops. Okay, all right. But you see, the blood cleanses, all right? Whew, I'm revealing my sins. The blood of Jesus has the power to do that. Why? 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, he is the kinsman redeemer. With his blood, he purchases us back to us, back to him. All right. And this blood, remember, blood, life is in the blood. So why is it that the grave could not hold him there? What is it that even though he died, he took our death, but why is it that his body saw no corruption? Because of the life that is in that blood. The life that is there in him is the power to overcome sin because he is perfect, pure, blemish. Sin has no hold on him. Sin has no power over him. He breaks the power of death and experiences resurrection through the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? The power of the blood. It is pure, holy, undefiled, without blemish, without spot. That's the blood of Jesus. And it is only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us. Let me bring you to the third aspect here. The sacrifice of Jesus is not just an external cleansing, but it is also an internal cleansing. Not just external, but internal. You see, as we talked about the difference between, you know, covering sin and cleansing sin, you see in the Old Testament, all that the blood and the cleansings that they did, the only thing that it did was it cleanse the flesh. It was only an external. It was a ritual, right? The physical flesh would be cleansed, but it could never do this. It could never cleanse what is inside. Can you see the difference here? Right? In the Old Testament, they had to keep the law. Where was the law of God written? Where was the law of God written? On two tablets of stone. All right? It was external. If you have to keep it, you have to keep it by your own effort. It's an external expression or keeping of the law of God that would save you from wrath or judgment. That would make you, okay? That's what they're supposed to do. But what does the New Testament tell us? The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He writes what? The law of God where? In our hearts, in our minds. He puts it in our minds. What was external now becomes internal, because it was impossible for us to externally keep the things of God. But God was interested in something more than just external, but in internal cleansing, right? An internal cleansing. Let me read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh." So if all these sacrifices of the Old Testament purified the flesh, what is that? External. Everybody say external. Verse 14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit..." Now, just something here just to keep in mind, even though I'm not saying this, but I'm not going to say much more about this, but can you see the blood and the Spirit? Can you see the blood and the Spirit? Yep. All right. And it says, "Through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." What did he do? "He cleansed your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Cleansing of the conscience is internal. Okay, from the external, what the blood of bulls did externally, the blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse internally. You see, the Pharisees, what was the downfall of what we usually generalize the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the group of people who were devoted. They were devout. Okay, they were the people of the day that, you know, people looked up to them. I mean, I know we read from the Bible that Jesus, you know, rebuked them many times, but in their day, they were regarded as the leaders of the day. They were highly regarded because they were devout. They were faithful to their, I suppose, some beliefs, but they were extreme in their belief and they were very legalistic. And how did Jesus, what did Jesus say to them? In Luke 11, verse 39 to 40, it says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees made the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also?'" So we can have the outside of the cup clean, but what is God interested in? The cleansing of not just the outside, not to say that the outside is not meant to be clean, it's meant to be clean, but it's to be cleansed from the inside to the out. Man's approach is always, I mean, think about your life as you've grown up, even perhaps even as a Christian, we always try to reform ourselves from the outside in, instead of approaching it from the inside out. But the Pharisees, what were they thinking? They were thinking, well, I keep the law, we do this and we do the washings and why do you not wash hands? And why do you, all these different, even a lot of these rules and regulations that they added themselves in. They were so focused about the outside that they missed the inside. Jesus said, you know, and that's why Jesus came, not just to give us an external cleansing, but an internal cleansing. Now, it's interesting, I heard a particular rabbi who would be Judaism. I can't say that all rabbis say this because I haven't heard all rabbis, but I heard one particular rabbi bragging about this. Remember in the Old Testament when God said, you know, the people said to God, "Whatever you tell us to do, we will do." Remember that verse on the mountain when God met with them? He says, "Oh, Moses, don't talk to us. You talk to God, but whatever God tells us to do, we will do it." Were they successful in doing it? No. Book of Romans is very clear, right? No one was able to do that. All has fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. But this particular rabbi, it was interesting to see that he used that verse to declare that the only way to find righteousness with God is to keep the law. He was insisting that our people in the Old Testament says, whatever God tells us to do, we will do. Now, that's a good thing. We want to please God. We want to do what God asks us to do. But he was emphasizing that this is the way by your righteousness. But you see how you can see why the same problem that the Pharisees have, it was only a keeping of the external rather than that of an internal one. And it's impossible to keep it internally because of our filthiness. Psalms 51, verse 2 to 3. What is David? This is David. This is, he says this, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, look at this. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The language that is used here, if you read Leviticus, they use the hyssop, they use scarlet, they use blood, they use ashes, and they use water. All of this is the language of the Leviticus. He says the inward parts, even the inward parts is a term very commonly used in the book of Leviticus, because when you sacrifice it, you had to take the inward parts and they had to separate the parts. But all I'm trying to say here is the cleansing of the inside that God is interested with. And the only thing that can cleanse us is the blood of Jesus. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. It is only out of the cleansing that God gives us that we can walk in the righteousness and in the judgments and statutes of God. Can you say amen? So what am I saying here? There's a picture I want to show you here, is that the blood and the water, the cleansing agent, is seen, revealed in the very person of Jesus Christ. His blood, the blood and water that came out, it is He who came by water and blood and cleanses us from within. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all the filthiness, God cleanses us from it. We are clean. You can stand before God and trust in blood and says, I am clean. But we'll come back to the question, when were we cleansed? We'll come back to this in a moment. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's a washing that we experience when we receive Jesus and become born again. I am washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. It wasn't temporal. It was eternal. Didn't just cover my sin. It cleanses me. It wasn't just external cleansing. It's not just an external formality. It's an inside cleansing that takes place. So when we talk about cleansing and all of that, think of it. Think of it. We approach God. We want to be cleansed from the inside out, not the outside to the in. Last point I want to share with you here is the power of the blood of Jesus cleanses the consciousness of the guilt of sin. Let me read that final verse here and bring it to a close with a few more verses. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, sincere true heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. Sprinkled with what? Blood? Water? From an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What happens with the blood of Jesus? It cleanses, the hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience. In fact, we read another verse earlier that it says that it purges or it cleanses our consciousness from dead works. You see, the consciousness here, why is that important? Is that, you know, as the people of God in the Old Testament continuously offered these sacrifices, you know, the daily sacrifices, and every time they sinned, they'd have to bring sacrifices again. Year by year, Devatum, and they have to sacrifice. What was it saying? Our sins are not cleansed. No matter what we do, no matter how many sacrifices, we are not cleansed. We are not clean. It was a reminder that we are sinful. There's a consciousness, there's a reminder that we are sinful and that we cannot stand before a holy and a righteous God. But the blood of Jesus cleanses our consciousness from the guilt of sin. Because of the blood now, we can come before Jesus, and no matter what our past may have looked like, whatever we've been involved or what we've done, but when a person puts, when we put our trust in the blood of Jesus, our conscience can be clear. We can be clean. We can say, I am forgiven. I don't have to think like I'm condemned. I'm not dirty or unclean anymore. I can trust in the power of the blood that has cleanses even my consciousness, the conscious of the heart that would say you are unclean, you are sinful. Now I can say I am accepted. Now I can say I'm redeemed. Now I can say I've been atoned for. I'm justified. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? But the enemy will seek to bring accusations. But the blood of Jesus is more powerful than that. While the enemy brings accusations, try to condemn us, try to tackle our conscience and bring guilt. But what does the Revelation say? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Can you say amen? So we don't have to live in the guilt, continuously live in the guilt of sin when we believe and trust in the power of the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Now let me conclude with this. When will we cleanse? We can say, I've been cleansed. We can say, I'm being cleansed. And you can also say, I will be cleansed. And all three are true. Victory, we have already won. We are still winning. And there's the victory that is coming ahead as well. Because the last enemy is death to be conquered. All right, that's going to be the greatest, you know, day we're all looking for. But when am I cleansed? I'm already cleansed. There's nothing else that we can do now. Think about it. If I want to be cleansed, is there anything that you and I can do to be cleansed? More cleansed than what Jesus has done? The answer is no. So the first thing that I want to say is the power of the blood is sufficient, all right? It is not demanding me to do something external to require cleansing. The blood is sufficient. What makes me righteous? Is there anything that I can do to make myself righteous before God? No, there's nothing I can do to be declared righteous before God. It is only the blood that is sufficient enough to make me righteous. Is there any price that you and I can pay to redeem ourselves? Now, oftentimes we use a term like this. You know, if let's say we're performing something and I did a very bad performance, I played guitar and I played really bad and I missed all the chords. And sometimes we say, "Oh, I need to redeem myself. I'm going to redeem myself, and next time I'm going to nail this." Okay, I ask a question: is there anything that we can do to redeem ourselves before God? Is there any price we could pay to pay back to God, to find redemption? No, but only the blood of Jesus. So I'm bringing us this morning to a place where we really look at Jesus, the one we believe, the one we say we trust, that truly his blood is truly sufficient, and there's nothing that you can add to make him more satisfied. There's nothing we can do more to make the blood more powerful in that sense. Does that make sense? Now, I'm cleansed, but I'm being cleansed, and I will be cleansed. Where does our responsibility lie? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says this, talking to believers. I'm going to kind of do what the Dino thing here, present tense or past tense or future tense, so get ready. Verse 1, let's read it together. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you think that sounds present, past, or future? Present. I've got not on the screen, which don't worry about the screen. I'm just going to read it here, I believe, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Don't worry about it. Sorry, I don't know where it is, but... Is it Colossians? Sorry, that was another verse I was looking at this morning. But It talks about, there he is. Talks about cleansing yourself. Talks about idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is the flesh. Oh, man, where is it? I lost track of it. That's okay. I just remembered it was somewhere here. In chapter 2, I know it's somewhere there in chapter 2, but I'm just trying to find it so quickly that I... Second Timothy 2:20, is that the one that I'm after? So it's not Titus, it's Second Timothy 2:20. No, it's not. It's okay, don't worry. But it's in somewhere in Colossians, he talks about... Sorry? 3:5, maybe. 3:5, yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. Thank you very much. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, let me read it. It says, therefore, put to death the members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we have, can we have idolatry? So now, is that past, present, future? He says, put to death. Romans says, put to death the deeds of the body. We put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit of God. So let me read that verse again, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, therefore, having been these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. As we looked at the power of what the blood of Jesus has already done, what is the power of God now in our daily lives as we go through life? We miss the mark. We say the wrong thing. We get involved in things we shouldn't get involved. We make mistakes. We sin. What do we do? 1 John, and this is the final couple of verses here, and we end with this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay? If we say we have fellowship in God, yet I know the truth about God, but I choose to not do anything about it or delay it or procrastinate about it, what am I doing? I am not practicing the truth. I'm walking in darkness. But the next verse. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Can you say amen? Yeah. So, faith in the blood, of course, in faith in Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But I'm going to talk about practically every day when we walk, okay? It talks about this. I want to end this with, I'm going to try and say this. If we walk in the light, what is that light? If we walk in the light, Jesus is the light. His word is light. The Spirit is also light. Light speaks of truth. He says, if you walk in the word, if you walk by the Spirit, in other words, I'm saying, just as Jesus, He is in the light, full of grace, full of truth, full of the Spirit. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses His Son from all sin. Oftentimes you say, we want the blood to wash and clean the blood, and it does. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it doesn't. What I'm saying is we want to appropriate the power of that blood. Correct? Do you? It's already done for us, but now I want to appropriate it now in my situation, in my life, in the situations I'm going through now. What does it say? It can say blood, 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 but it says, as you walk in the truth of His word and the Spirit, what will the Spirit do? The Spirit will work with the blood, and the blood cleanses us. So it talks about a continual walk in the Word and in the Spirit under the precious blood. This is three things that work hand in hand. There's three things that bears witness on earth: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And these three agree as one. So as we talk about appropriating that power, The Spirit works with the Word of God. The Spirit works with the blood of Jesus. So it's not just say, blah, 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 blah. I mean, we believe in the blood, but there's an aspect of how does the Spirit work? How do we appropriate it? You will always see, and challenge you to go through the scriptures and see a constant relationship between blood, water, and the Spirit. In the Old Testament, there's a very powerful symbol. There's a powerful picture here for the cleansing of, I believe it's leprosy. I think you can find this in Leviticus 14. And he talks about how you have to have blood sacrifice. Then you have to have it applied on the ear. Then you have to be sprinkled with water. Then you have to have oil applied on the ear and on the big toe or the foot or something like that anyway. You will always see a constant relationship. I say with me, the water, the blood, and the Spirit. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? So shall we arise to our feet this morning as we bring this to an end?